Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We have another blessed day and opportunity to serve the Lord our God. And every day counts because every day we have a chance to love the ones we love, be a blessing to people, represent the Lord, pray for those who need us to, and minister healing and life to those who are sick. Your words avail much, your prayers avail much. And when we take time to pray and seek the Lord our God, we give other people a chance to learn what we've learned about Him. You know, I love being able to pray and intercede for people and they get healed and get set free and be delivered. Our prayers avail much. You know, and people don't always have to know that you're praying for them. The Lord needs somebody to take authority here to be a blessing to our people so that He can extend their life and get them saved if they're not and use them longer if they are saved. Don't listen to the enemy. Always regard the word of God. You know, remember the man, his friends was, they lowered him down through the rafters. They peeled the roof back and lowered him down. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the man was whole and he walked away from there healed. That's what our intercession, that's what we do when we pray for people. Our prayers avail much. They mean a lot to God. Our prayers mean a lot to God. And they give God a chance to do something on the behalf of others. The Lord needs us and we need Him. He needs us to legally operate in the earth because He needs us to believe Him and take Him at His word, and then He can perform His word. And many people falsely believe that God can just do something because He's God. Somebody's got to believe Him for it. Remember, Paul had a situation. It looked grim. Everywhere he went, he was disturbed and aggravated by people that acted under the influence of demons. And they were like a thorn in his side and smoke in his eyes. And he called them a thorn in the flesh. But remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He studied the law. He spoke the language of the law. And the first reference of a thorn in your flesh or a thorn in your side and smoke in your eyes was found in the book of, I think it was Judges. Joshua talked about, you know, the Lord had instructed Joshua to drive out all the Canaanites. And in the time of the judges, they were still supposed to be driving them out, but they didn't get them all. And the Lord had told Joshua that if you don't, they're going to be like thorns in your side and smoke in your eyes. And everywhere Paul went, he was troubled by Jewish people and also by people that were under the influence of Satan. But the interesting part is the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, don't expect the Lord to just come and take over the situation and without somebody believing Him for it, because it's not going to happen. Every miracle He ever did, He did it through men. From the time He made Adam, every before God made Adam, He did what He wanted to do. But after God made Adam, every miracle on the earth was done through a man. The Red Sea was parted when Moses raised his staff over the water. The children drank water. He was supposed to speak to the rock, and he hit the rock. And the Lord had mercy on them all and still gave them water. Elisha took his mantle and smote the water. Said, "Where's?" And the waters parted. And Elisha had a double portion. And after he saw Elisha ascend in that chariot, he had the mantle and he smote the water and said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And the water still departed. Miracles are done through men. The Lord working through men. We have to be in agreement with Him. The Word of God helps us to be in agreement with Him. You have to look at the beginning. Everything God did, he did it through Adam. After he commissioned Adam to and gave him authority over the earth. See, if you go back to the first five statements, a lot of things, you build your doctrine from there. That's the beginning. Even the things Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, they're in sync with what God did in the first place. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Now, from the time the Lord said, told Adam to have dominion over it, he recognized Adam's dominion. In your life, you're going to have to just speak the word of God. His grace is sufficient. When the Lord gave us a right to believe him, take him at his word, speak his word, he gave us the right to ordain our lives the way we want it to be. We can speak it. We're supposed to. And and it's going to work a whole lot. We have authority to use it our will the way we want to. But it's in our highest and best interest to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all things we desire will be added. All the good things of God will be added. But the Lord has to use our authority right now. And we have to be obedient to the word of God. And you can pray and ask God to do it just like Paul was doing. Paul was asking God to take out the thorn from his side. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Speak the word, Paul. Take authority over that demon, Paul. You have the authority. Use it. My grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter what it is. Speak life the way it's supposed to be. When you learn revelation from the Lord, you receive information. And then as you walk in, it's more is revealed. And all the revelation you receive from the Lord, all the training, everything the Holy Spirit guides you to, speak it in your life. Demand it in your life. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And speak how you want your life to be. And that was a time a few years back, I knew to do this, but I wasn't fully doing it. And one day the Lord said, how do you want to live? And that statement made me think I needed to be making better choices. I wasn't governing my life like I should. I was putting out fires. You can either put out fires the rest of your life, or you can get down. You can direct your life. Speak what you want to happen in your life. And learn. You have to learn the wisdom to govern your life. That's the responsibility we all share. When you structure your life the way God taught Adam, in every situation, your life can grow like a plant. It can grow and become great like a mustard tree, like a mustard seed. It grows into the greatest herb. Your life is no different. But you get to speak it the way you want it to be. If you want a good marriage, speak that you're going to marry the right person, that you're going to learn and take time to learn all the wisdom of God about marriage. And speak that you have a good one. Speak that you marry somebody that you love and that loves you. Somebody that will love to know God. See, when the Lord is the focus, and I learned this recently. See, you learn things along the way. I learned that if you focus on the Lord, when you see him, every blessing that God gives you, you appreciate it in a multiplied way. Even when it comes to people, the people in your lives, when you're looking at Jesus, you can receive the knowledge you need to help your people, your spouse, your children, even your parents. When you're looking at the Lord, their problems don't look so big. And the problems they cause you don't look big either. So you're able to forgive the things that need to be forgiven. And you have the ability to see the options that you already have. And I'm not saying this for nothing. Every situation I've ever had that seemed the enemy wants me to consider it to be out of my control, but it's not. I have to speak what I want in my own life according to the wisdom of God, and I have the highest blessings, and nobody can stop it. See, with the Lord, nothing's impossible. He'll take what you have and he can multiply it. He can take what you have in your hands. What do you have? What skill set do you have? You may not have the job you want, but you need more finances. There are many legal options that you have to do the things you got to do. Some of the things that I greatly desire, I wanted, and I didn't have the money for it, but Pastor always say, see, it's good to have a network of faith too. There are people in my life that bless me. Pastor said, you don't need money, you need faith. And it don't always look like it. It looks like you need cash. But I pray for the situation, and behold, suddenly it happens. And he prophesied about the suddenlies. Suddenly you have what you need. And I was praying about prospering. You know, I talked about it in Sunday school. And Ray gave me a paper that he wrote, things that he learned from the Lord. See, sometimes when you tell people the things you're doing, the Holy Spirit will cause people to do and say the right thing that you need. When I'm asking God for something, I'm listening to him. He's going to answer me. He never fails to answer me. As soon as I started preaching about it, I said, Lord, I don't like the way I prosper. I prosper too slow. I want to do so much more in a shorter amount of time. And now everything that I'm not doing to prosper, I want to know it so I can repent and so that I can do better. I said, I want to do it right. And everything I don't know, I want to know, because if I know, I'll tell others. So on Sunday and Wednesday, Pastor has been talking about prosper. He went back to the basics of tithing. And he pointed out how the curse is already in the earth. But when you tithe and give offerings, you know, and offerings is above the tithe, then the Lord causes you to override the curse that's already in the earth. See, the curse is like the thorns in the side, but God's grace is sufficient. You can take what you have and it can be multiplied by obedience. You can believe God for what you want. You can give more than your tithes, and that's secure. That activates God on your behalf. That gives him a chance to act in your favor. And then I receive greater work and work that I can complete in my business, and I can make more money. And money came through other ways that I didn't know it would come through. Suddenly it did. And sometimes the wisdom to not overspend, the wisdom to manage what you already have. All these wonderful things happens when you involve God. And instead of spending or using old habits, I waited. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to yield to the Lord and let him guide me. And he guided me, you know, where I would buy things, the things that I needed the most, and get the better price, or wait and buy it at a more opportune time. All these things help, all these wise acts and concepts helps us to prosper. The grace of God is alive. God's grace is alive in real time. And it's sufficient to solve your problems. Kill the emotion. Bridle the emotions that cause you to jump out there and do something ahead of time and aside from wisdom. And I learned, you can learn so much more from the law and understand it and receive it and act on it if you're at peace. See, faith looks to God and there's a rest with it. Faith looks to God and there is a living rest in that faith. You can see when you operate according to the love of God, you can operate in the light of God. And you see what he see, you do what he do, and you prosper. And it changes the facts on the ground where you are. The grace is alive and sufficient. Some people would be so happy if God gave them a checkbook that was sufficient up to $1 million. And they'll just jump for joy. And then they'll go blow it. Without the wisdom of God, it won't last long. If somebody give you $1 million and you buy a $900,000 house, you're gonna run out of money because you overspent. Even the NFL players and basketball players, they get millions of dollars in their signing bonus, and then they go and buy a $30 million house. Now, if they get hurt and can't play anymore, they can't make that kind of money anymore. And that house will be sold for pennies on the dollars, and they'll be right back at their old neighborhood broke. Wisdom. Why not buy a nice house for under $1 million? Something that you can really enjoy and take care of. Set money aside. Start businesses. And live more moderately in the wisdom of God, and not just lavish yourself with everything. Without the wisdom of God, money is not, it won't help you much. And God knows this. He loves us. So if we seek first the kingdom of God, things will be in order. Even after you receive what you want. Now Jesus did say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, and do this until those things are added and stop. He didn't say that. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But he's suggesting to continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because not only would the things you desire be added, but you will rest in the wisdom of God and you'll do so much more. You will enjoy the living light of God's word, like Adam was supposed to do. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. He didn't say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it, and stop. See, when you reach one point in life, you've done something. Now you can reign over it. But then there's greater things to do than that. So you're going to start this cycle all over again. Now you've gotten to a point where you can govern your house. And now you have children. You're filling the earth with children. And they're having, you set something in order. And we bear fruit after our kind. So now Adam he begins to have a generation under him. And they're trained to govern their lives just like him. And they're not going to let, and they were not supposed to let the enemy come and destroy their lives. Now, this was supposed to be what the pattern that Adam was supposed to set. But when he ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he altered the course. He stopped at number 4, and then he lost his ability to have dominion. But Jesus gained it back for us. So we're supposed to do what Adam was supposed to do now in the first place, because Jesus made us righteous. And because he made us righteous, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, continually. All things will be added. What's the excuse now? Because the living grace of God is alive and it's sufficient. Through that kind of grace, he gave us a blank check that goes way beyond $1 million. You can believe God for health and spare yourself the agony of the hospital and all the pain that goes with it, and the money that it'll cost for men to do it. and the invasive surgery. Sometimes people have to have surgery, but by his stripes we're healed. If you can receive it, you can have it, because the grace is sufficient. If you can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you can have that too. You can have whatever you want, whatever you're after. Because when you're looking at the Lord, you know, one day you may wake up praying for your daily bread like you're supposed to do. Every day you're supposed to pray for the things you need. You can pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to pray for your greatest needs. And I've had the Lord to alert me to things that the enemy was doing. You may wake up one day and you just know to pray for your back. A friend of mine, the Lord told him to pray for every part of his body. And that was Odie Berry. He sings on the radio broadcast. He does the intro song. Well, he was pressure washing with high pressure water. It was 10,000 PSI. But he was standing on a pallet and slipped. Now, he had prayed for every part of his body. But he had an accident. And that water cut off his small toe. Now, it could have been much worse. He could have cut his leg off. But the Lord told him to pray for every part of his body, because the Lord saw something coming. He saw an accident forming. Now, he lost a little toe, a little pinky toe, but he didn't lose his foot. The Lord can show us things that are in the works so that we can use our faith and stop it. But when you're looking unto the Lord, those are the kind of things that happen. But when you go through life ignoring the Lord and the Word, and you're trying to solve problems the human way, things are going to slip up on you. But when you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, seek him first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know you're in a war with Satan. You know you're in the warfare and you got to fight back. So as we watch the Lord, we can do all things through Christ, and we can be alerted to the things that the devil's trying to do. And the Lord wants us to live. The Lord our God is alive. He speaks to us by the seven spirits of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit manifests himself seven ways. We're complete in him. We're complete in him. If we're in love with the living things of God, we're going to live and not die. We are supposed to order our lives and not let our lives get out of hand. That's the responsibility we receive from the Lord. Now, Jesus never said, when you have a problem, if the devil's bothering you, tell God and he'll come out of heaven and stop the devil for you. That's not a scripture. That never was a scripture for the New Testament. The closest scripture to the closest one is in Malachi, when the Lord said he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake when you pay tithes. Malachi chapter 3. Now, when that was taught, because in those days Jesus hadn't died for us yet, and we didn't have dominion or authority over Satan yet, because Jesus won our authority. Now, the devils were subject to him before he died for them, and they were subject to Jesus. But the Lord didn't reveal much about Jesus, so nobody had faith for that. Once Jesus started teaching and casting out devils, then the people that loved him and believed him did the same thing. That's why in Luke chapter 10, they came back saying, even the devils are subject to us. And they were surprised and they were rejoicing. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And spiritual warfare was not, there were no scriptures about it. And men lost his ability to manage Satan and stop him in his tracks. But Jesus won it back for us. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, and I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's within the grace of God, the living grace of God. And you have more than enough grace to manage the old stupid demon. You have more than enough grace from God, the authority, the ability. You can, if you don't believe that you have authority over Satan, you're going to have to go and fill your heart with the scriptures that tell you that you have authority over all the power of the devil. And then you're going to tell him to stop bothering you. It's as simple as that. I don't know another way to explain it any better. And he'll be obedient. Because he don't want whatever them angels do to him if he try to disobey. And he can't go beyond your faith. It's impossible. So the grace of God is a lie. Cold religion can't teach this because people who are compromised, they have no fight in them. The only kind of people that have to stand up to Satan are those who love God and keep his commandments. They are alive. They have the light of God's word in them. They have God's love in them. They are seeking the Lord. They are learning things. They are learning who they are in Christ. And they take their place. Like we all are supposed to do. But when people start looking over their shoulder at the world and playing with the world, they fight like they're playing with the world. When people get rich, they've gotten success and they've gotten rich. And anytime anybody, for whatever reason, stop looking to the Lord. In other words, the things of God is not their main focus anymore. That's the path of being lukewarm. Other things have become more important. And then seducing spirits will start talking. And they can't distinguish the seducing spirit from the voice of God who they used to love, because they love the world somewhere. Compromised. And then they become the enemy of God. And this doesn't happen in one day. This happens over time. It's just like a man that gets cancer. The cancer eats away his body and he gets weaker and weaker until he speaks the name of Jesus in faith. And he can kill the cancer by his faith. And if a person don't win a battle like that, God still love, his love don't change. His love don't change. But the skill to learn these things are easily learned, especially when you're looking unto the Lord, the author and finisher of your faith. One man that was under the word, he heard the word, he went to a Kenneth. He was taught by Kenneth Hagin, but when he got cancer, he didn't fight. And then he died. And Kenneth Hagin asked the Lord, why did he die? He said, because he waited too long to fight. See, if your ability, we receive the blessings of the word according to how we measure it. Learning to measure the word in a greater way comes from studying the word, being a student of the word, being guided by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes all of those things operating continually. It depends on what your background was. If you didn't come from a background of faith, the things of faith can be a mystery to you, and you won't naturally measure it big like you're supposed to. But when you become a student, some people read the scriptures and they try to, well, that maybe that won't work for me. They can't see it. Vision is restored. You'll learn to operate according to the word by operating in the word. And there are places in your life where you're going to be strong, and then there are places where you have to be strengthened. But the Lord has a master plan for even you to receive whatever you need, because his grace is sufficient. If you can't master it, he's got a brother out there that can help you. Or the Holy Spirit can train you and get you to the point where you can master the problem. But that comes from hearing the Holy Spirit. That comes from hearing and hearing and hearing his word. That comes from looking to the Lord. I promise you, as you look to the Lord, everything, it makes receiving from God so much easier, so much better. And when you can yield to the Holy Spirit, it makes everything so much better. And even when you're blessed with the things you greatly desire, you appreciate it in a magnified way, in a multiplied way. And the little distractions of the demons and Satan, they don't bother you the same. You manage them out of your life. You run them out of town. And you live in victory. The Lord said, fight till you win and live in victory. When I asked him about the warfare. So that became my master plan. I'll fight till I win and then I'll live in victory. And I won't let him overtake me. That's what God was telling Adam. We have to go back to what he told Adam in the first place. And we measure everything we believe by that standard and we'll be fine. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. He loves you. His grace is sufficient. And you're going to master your life like you're supposed to. You're going to win and you're going to see what the old preacher been talking about. It's going to be real to you. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you and Jesus is our Lord.